Welcome to the last episode of Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Maeve McCovey, a Kurukh medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Endings.
Endings. In January of 2003, Bevi's abdomen began to swell, and she pretty much stopped eating, because whatever she ate made her sick. I told her I thought she should see a doctor because she was only 50 years old and had all these things wrong with her. That wasn't normal. She shouldn't be sick at all at that age. When her blood was tested, we learned that she had hepatitis C. By May, I didn't know if she's going to make it or not. In July, she rallied and her health held until January of 2004 when she started failing again. She would rally, and then she'd fail. And we just went from week to week and day to day trying to get her to eat something, trying to find something that she could keep down. We had to make sure that she took all her medication because she would forget to take it. When we thought Bevi was dying, our family went to Elk Valley to make medicine for her and to soothe our souls because it was hard. Daryl and I weren't there to make medicine, so we stayed in the first camp, and we didn't do anything. Long Gone stayed at a higher camp, because he had come there to pray for Bevi, to make himself feel better, and to make us feel better about Bevi dying, whether she died or whether God was going to let her stay. But we weren't picking up power. We didn't know if she was going to live or die. Bevi commented that I didn't get scared about her dying, like Daryl and Long Gone did. I told her, well, Bevi, maybe it doesn't scare me. To die may not be a bad thing. At one point, Bevi got a little better and came home. But 2 days later, she was back in the hospital. About this time, Daryl broke his hip, and I was staying in the hospital with him in Eureka. And Bevi was in the hospital in Mad River. I was sleeping in my bedroom in the trailer here in Orleans, and I felt someone come into my room. I woke up and looked around, and Bevi was standing there. I asked her what she was doing here, and she said, Mom, I'm scared. I don't think I'm going to make it. This was in September, around the time of Pikyawish. I told her, I don't know how much power I have left, but I'll give you what I have. I pulled up all the power that I had, and I just gave it to her. I told her, that's all I can do, because I don't think I have anything more that I can give you. Okay, she said, and then she left. When I saw her in the hospital, I asked her if she had gone to anyone else for help, and she said no. So I must have had some power left. And she lived through that episode. She said that she had been really afraid when she came to me that time in the spirit form. It startled me, because I hadn't expected to see someone in my room. Then they flew her to San Francisco for the transplant, and I went down to stay with her for the next month. It was kind of touch and go at that point, because her kidneys had begun to fail as well. For the last couple of years, I'd been expending most of my power on my immediate family, and I'll probably have to pay for it. That's probably what my leg going dead is a manifestation of, because I have been using my power to keep Bevi alive and to heal my husband. That is not what the Creator gave me this power for. I'm supposed to give it to the people, not just my people. When I was young, really still a child, Daisy Jones had prophesied that I would have children and they would live long enough to have children. She said she couldn't save all of them and that I would lose some along the way. Depe lived to be 16 years old and was murdered, but before he died, he had a child, one boy. My daughter Carol had a boy before she was killed in a wreck when she was 36. And my adopted son, Chucker, has 9 children. Bevi and Long Gone are still alive, and they have had children, So Daisy Jones' prophecy was true, and I had the four children I wanted. By hook or by crook, I had the four children, and my adopted son has nine children. Between my other four children, I have had nine grandchildren and lost two of them to crib death when they were tiny babies. Medicine people have a vision of their death. It may not be exact, it is just an inkling. What I see is that I am supposed to be leaving, and I am supposed to be picking up souls to take a cross with me. In this vision, I have to fight to leave this life because there are people trying to keep me here with those souls. I don't know if these are people from that side or from this side. I just know that there is a fight when I go. And people have come forward and said they will defend my back. And some of them are already dead. But they will defend my back, whatever that means. I think that means that when I'm trying to go over and other people are trying to stop me, they will step in and help me go across to the other side. According to this vision, these souls that I am able to take with me will be coming back, but I will not be back. I will leave this world and go to the spirit world, but those other people who are going to the spirit world with me will come back. The vision does not show me how these souls will come back, but the Hopis have a legend that they take the living into the other world, and when the world turns and ends, then later these souls will come back as people again. Now, I don't know if my vision is part of that or not, because I can't find that out from my Karuk people. But the Hopis have that belief, and they say they've been here 5 times. There are all kinds of medicine people, and we all do different things, cover different areas. Nobody is just all-powerful. A friend of mine would say, "I don't know what good being medicine people does you or Millie. Neither one of you are rich. You're both poor. You have no money. And it doesn't seem to make either of you any happier. It looks like you worry about people more than you should. You're always worrying that something is going to happen to this one or that one. And you have to help them out because something is going to happen. You're always worrying about somebody else. And having this power doesn't seem to do you folks any good." I said, "Well, they never told me it would make me rich, and none of the people who taught me were rich, and they never promised me I would be happy. They said I would have my happiness, and I figure I had that when I lived down the river and just lived for my little family. That was my happy time. When I came back up here to Orleans, then the demands of being a spiritual person started up again, and the call started coming. The powers had things that I needed to help them with. When some people get their medicine, they get so full of themselves and their powers that they think they can do all kinds of things. I say you can't do anything. You just have an affinity to be able to flow the Creator's power through you to something else. That's what I feel it is. Someone else may have a different idea, but my figuring and thinking and mulling on it has led me to think that that is how it is."
Thank you for listening to our presentation of Medicine Trails for the National Native American Heritage Month. We hope you enjoyed the series. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sautler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Lura Cooper. Hey ya, hey yo, hey ya, hey yo.